Welcome to Couch Time with Amy Wine, the podcast that's all about helping high achievers like you thrive in life, relationships, and business. Hey there, I'm your host, Amy Wine, and each week I will be bringing you insights, inspiration, and practical strategies to help you live your best life. So whether you're looking to improve your relationships, grow your business, or find more meaning and purpose, you have come to the right place. With expert interviews, real-life stories, and actionable advice, Couch Time with Amy Wine is the ultimate guide to personal growth and success. So grab your cup of coffee or tea, like me, get comfortable on that couch, and join me for real life, real relationships, real people. It is time to take your life to the next level, and I am here to help you every step of the way. What exactly is trust? The husband says, "Honey, I noticed that our credit card bill was a little more expensive than normal." "Okay, is there a problem?"
"Well, I was just wondering if you knew why our credit card bill was higher."
"Are you accusing me of something?"
"No, I'm saying our credit card bill is higher."
"Well, just pay it. Don't you really need to ask all these questions?"
"I ask questions because our credit card bill is the same most of the time, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes you're so stressed that you spend money we could never possibly pay back."
"So you think that this time I must have gone on a selfish spending spree? Why are you in my face about it?"
"I don't think it's too much for me to be a little suspicious when the credit card is high. I mean, I'm not in your face. I just want to make sure that wasn't happening again.
I'm the one making most money anyway, so I could spend it on whatever I want."
"Oh, so it's happening again."
So trust is an important component of almost all social interactions. In the context of a close marriage relationship, trust refers to the level of confidence you have in the other person that they will act in ways that fulfill your expectations. This confidence is realized both mentally and experientially, providing a sense of security and assurance in the spouse's behavior and motives. Thus, you carry expectations for the way your spouse shows up in regards to being trustworthy. Trust researchers have offered various systems for organizing these expectations, and despite the differences in these organizational schemes, they tend to share one common theme. In virtually all cases, researchers have related trust to what they consider to be the most important interpersonal goal in a close relationship: the belief that our spouse is motivated by the feelings of responsiveness and caring towards us. Robert Larzlerier and Ted Hudson have suggested that the most important expectations involve confidence in another person's benevolence and honesty or sincerity. For Larzlerier and Hudson, the core issues of trust is a close relationship involving the expectations that another person cares and can be believed. Similarly, Cynthia Johnson George and Walter Swapp developed a measure of emotional trust that taps into expectations of the spouse's openness, honesty, and concern for the other's welfare. Again, the most important set of expectations involves the confidence in a spouse's expressions of caring and concern. This same theme also occurs in the work of John Holmes and John Rempel and their colleagues. They put together a system to measure an intangible such as trust measured concretely. Predictability is the highest regard dimension, and it refers to expectations for specific behaviors. Dependability refers to expectations based on more qualities and characteristics such as honesty and reliability, and they identify that the spouse is a trustworthy person. But finally, faith, the most general and abstract level of expectations, reflect an emotional security that enables people to go beyond the available evidence and feel with assurance that their spouse will be responsive and caring, whatever the future may hold. Now, the most important aspect of trust in an intimate relationship appears to involve expectations that the individual will be caring and will act in ways that will take the needs and desires of their spouse into account, even at the cost to themselves. Confidence in this central belief may translate into more specific goals and expectations unique to each couple. But trust is a dynamic process. Even after a solid foundation of trust has been established, feelings of confidence continue to respond to changes and transitions in the relationship. Just as trust has been built up, it can also wear down. The impact that different levels of trust have on the nature of a close relationship has only recently become the subject of study, and much still remains to be learned. However, from the evidence that already exists, it is clear the relationship of people with higher levels of trust are very different from relationships where trust levels are lower. In a set of studies on commitment and trust, Jennifer Wieselquist and her colleagues have provided evidence that changes in trust are related to how we see our spouse's positive actions. Individuals come to trust their spouses when they are committed to them and when they perceive that their spouses have acted in positive ways. Additionally, studies have shown that changes in trust must ultimately reflect changes in attributions to the spouse's motives. People must not only notice their spouse's behavior, but they must interpret it differently from how they have in the past. In other words, trust can act as a filter through which new events and experiences are interpreted. So the beliefs of high trust people are anchored both by positive conclusions about their spouse's motives drawn from past evidence and by faith in what the future holds.
If you're looking for even more support and guidance on your personal growth journey, in your marriage, or even in your business, then I invite you to check out the Thrive Life Collective app. Our holistic approach rooted in research, science, and scripture can help you strengthen your life, relationships, and business one step at a time. Plus, our Thrive Today feature provides a daily motivation and encouragement in just 3 to 5 minutes a day. So why wait? Sign up for the Thrive Life Collective app today in Apple and Google app stores, and let's continue growing together.
They expect their spouse to act in ways that are motivated by a desire to improve the relationship. Even when faced with events that could potentially challenge their conviction, such as a conflict or disagreement, people in high trust relationships are unlikely to call their spouse's motives into question. Rather, as much as possible, negative events are seen as less significant when compared against the large accumulation of positive experiences. So that ratio of positive to negative makes a difference. Negative incidents are less likely to be explained in less harmful ways. Treated as isolated events or understood to reflect an unfortunate but less significant component of the relationship. This is not to say that trusting people are unaware of or naively ignore the negative events that occur in their relationship. However, unless an incident truly merits suspicion, they tend to place some limits on the negative implications that the event could have for their relationship. Thus, a high trust relationship is one in which spouses share openly with each other and give each other the benefit of the doubt. And for many couples, a trusting relationship remains an elusive goal. For some, past experiences with parents or former spouses have left them unable to completely set their doubts aside and confidently relinquish control to an intimate spouse. Others who started out with high levels of trust may have run out of convincing charitable explanations for their spouse's negative behaviors. Worn down from the accumulated weight of evidence, they increasingly entertain doubts and concerns about their spouse's caring motives. Whatever the cause, people in medium trust relationships are uncertain about their spouse's intentions, and they are alert for signs that indicate further risk. They still hope for the relationship, and they may long to achieve the elusive sense of security. Yet, ironically, despite a desire for positive convictions, people in medium trust relationships appear to place greater emphasis on negative events. The same research as mentioned earlier have found that medium trust couples are more likely than high or low trust couples to use manipulative or coercive tactics during a conflict interaction. Thus, it seems that medium trust individuals are hesitant to dismiss warning signs that signal the potential for disappointment in order to avoid having their hopes undermined by giving the benefit of the doubt for their spouse's behavior. These individuals protect themselves with a risk avoidance strategy. This leads them to adopt a more skeptical mindset. Medium trust couples may overemphasize the importance of negative events and underestimate the importance of events that could raise their hopes. As the feelings of confidence continue to diminish, people arrive at the point where they no longer expect the events in the relationship to reflect a concern or caring. Instead, they are more likely to expect indifference or even hostility. Low trust people cannot, with any confidence, embrace any hope that their spouse is concerned about them or the relationship. Thus, they are likely to confront positive incidents with skepticism, discounting the encouraging implications such events might have for the future of their relationship. Negative events, on the other hand, serve to confirm their beliefs that confidence as a spouse is not warranted. They represent just one more piece of evidence to support the conclusion that their spouse no longer cares. The sad irony is that once the trust has been betrayed, it may be doubly difficult to restore. Lurking close to the surface of most low trust relationships is a history of broken promises, unmet expectations, and emotional disappointments. Even if the offending spouse turns over a new leaf and begins to work at the relationship, it is all too easy for these positive events to be explained away. The reluctance of low trust individuals to accept their spouse's positive behaviors is understandable. They have taken risks and lost. To protect themselves from the danger of drawing positive conclusions and to minimize the pain of involvement with an unconcerned spouse, low trust people may attempt to reduce emotional investment in their relationship. Studies indicate that low trust couples act in a way that minimizes the potential for conflict. Thus, at least when the issues do not demand a confrontation, the interactions of low trust couples appear to be characterized by indifference and emotional distance. This scenario, though, is not hopeless. Of course, no one should underestimate the difficulty of rebuilding trust once it's been betrayed. For trust to grow after it has been violated, people must resist the natural tendency to jump to harsh conclusions about their spouse's motives and character in new situations. People must also allow their spouse the leeway for occasional unintended missteps. And the offending spouse, in turn, must make a profound effort to live up to their promises of change in ways that clearly signal to be the offended spouse that these risks were worth taking. To be able to trust, people must take the risk of trusting. By giving their spouse a second chance to renew trust in the relationship, people risk being wrong. But if they do not try, they can never be right.
Thanks for tuning in to Couch Time. This is Amy Wine, and I hope you've enjoyed today's episode and gained some valuable insights that you can apply to your own life, relationships, and business. Remember, you're capable of achieving anything you set your mind to, and I believe in you. Keep showing up, keep taking action, and keep striving for greatness. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to subscribe. I would be forever grateful if you could please leave a rating and a review and share it with someone who you think could benefit from these conversations. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode. Until next time, keep living your life authentically and intentionally on purpose, and keep thriving in all areas of your life. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you on the next episode of Couch Time with Amy Wine. Are you feeling like your marriage is more about going through the routine than the romance? Just the day-to-day drudgery of all the things and the chaos that surround you that you have to do? You're not alone. Hi, I'm Amy Wine, your marriage and family therapist and founder of Thrive Life TV, and we get it. Impact-driven achievers like you deserve a marriage that is just as successful as your business and your career. Your marriage is about more than just staying together. It's about growing together, laughing together, and reigniting the spark that makes you partners in every sense of the word. That is where Thrive Life TV steps in. Join me for exclusive sessions. We're gonna tackle real life marriage challenges. From reigniting passion to deepening your emotional connection. We're talking real change, real results.
It is time to transform your marriage into a thriving partnership that you both deserve. On Thrive Life TV, you're going to find practical strategies, shared experiences, and that extra push you need. Are you ready to uplevel your marriage? Visit ThriveLifeTV.com and let's bring the joy and love and yes, the fun back in your marriage. I'll see you inside.